What's going on, everyone? Eddie Pascal here with some exciting news. Training camp is right around the corner, which means now is the perfect time to announce we're dropping a brand new podcast, aptly titled The Raiders Training Camp Podcast. The show is going to be a lot of fun, but I cannot do it alone, so we are thrilled that our pal from News 3 here in Las Vegas, Jesse Merrick, is going to join me on this journey.
Yeah, that's right, Eddie. Beginning Wednesday, July 28th, Eddie and I will break down everything we see at training camp, as well as bring you all weekly interviews with Raiders coaches and players. Make sure to follow along the Raiders Training Camp Podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast for new episodes every week during camp, and make sure to download the Raiders official mobile app for exclusive training camp content.
You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal back here in Henderson, Nevada. And we thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And I am excited. Not only am I excited because we are now, I guess, technically less than a week out from the start of Training Camp 2021, which is mind-boggling to say, but today on the show, me and my pal Levi Edwards, who will join us in just a second, are going to crack open our final ice-cold six-pack of the season, well, off-season, I should say, before we dive into training camp. But today, we are talking all things special teams. Yes, yes, yes. My close personal friends, the specialists, are finally getting their moment in the sun. I cannot wait. I am excited. And I told you guys last week, do not sleep on the specialists. Do not sleep on the Raiders specialists. Do not sleep on special teams across the NFL, because you win and you lose games by special teams. I know it's not overly sexy sometimes. I know that it's not the flashiest plays during the course of a game, but my goodness, are they important. So in that spirit, we welcome in Levi Edwards to talk a little special teams. And Levi, I refer to myself, I've self-anointed myself as our resident special teams advocate. I love these guys. I love what they bring to the field. I love what they bring to this roster. And they're important, right? Like, I'm not crazy in saying, like, these dudes are a really important group of guys on the roster.
Well, let me just put it like this. Tom Brady has 7 championships. He has 7 Super Bowl rings. 3 of those Super Bowl rings, he needs to be sending a check out to Adam Vinatieri.
Yes, sir.
Every year. Because 3 of those rings came off of 3 kicks that were at the last second. And I promise you, there's so many games that are won and lost by special teams. So definitely 100% make sure that you got somebody on your team that can tackle somebody and kick off, run the ball back, kick you some field goals, put you in good position on the punt team. You need those guys. They are just as important as anyone else.
Special teams wins ball games. So in that spirit, Levi, let us dive in, crack our first ice cold Coors Light of the afternoon. And my question to you, sir, can Daniel Carlson get to 95% on his field goals this year? He's hit 94% twice. So he kicked 94% on his field goals last year and in his first season as a Raider back in Oakland in 2018. He was at 94.1% during his time in 2018. And then last year, 94.3%. Can we get to 95? Is it possible?
I 100% believe that it's possible for him to be able to get to that 95%. However, I will say that with a disclaimer, it's going to be a lot harder for him this year.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Go on.
Okay, well, you have to think about all of these games where he was kicking field goals with no fans. He had 100% concentration, and as well as the fact that you are in Allegiant Stadium with no fans, with also no weather conditions to worry about, where, of course, if you're a player of any other position, of course, that's a drawback because you need the fans and the atmosphere to feed off of to play better. But when you're a kicker, you just get in the zone and you try to concentrate. And so I definitely think he can get 95%. He's been a great kicker his whole career, even dating back to when he was at Auburn. It's one of those things to where he definitely has to zone in to another level, because now he's going to have to adjust back to fans. And he's also going to have to adjust to weather conditions on the road, which he's already done even without fans. But definitely those two things play a factor. So it's going to be a lot harder for him to do it this year. But I definitely think that he's up for the challenge.
Now listen, I think the cash money man can do it in his sleep. That said, I'm interested by something that you said, where you said he's going to have to adjust to having fans back in the building. And I would just think, and obviously we got to get Daniel on the show to talk about this at some point during the season, I would think that'd be a little harder to kick in a silent stadium, right? It's like, you think about, you know, taking those free throws in that empty gym. Don't you want some ambient noise? Don't you want to get the blood pumping a little bit with the fans in the stands when you're kicking?
It really just depends on the kicker. You have some guys that feed off of that, that wants that, and, you know, they can handle pressure like that. And then you have other guys where it's just, I bet they probably did benefit from being able to kick in stadiums without people in it, because it's just like any other kick during practice, where you see guys booting 60-yard kicks in practice or during, you know, before pre-games and without any problem, and then they kind of choke up and they feel the pressure of certain game situations, and then they aren't able to maximize on what they know they can do because of the pressure. So I guess that's more of a Daniel Carlson question of whether or not he seizes moments with fans. But I would think, just from my point of view, that it'd be a little easier to be able to knock down kicks when you're fully concentrated in the zone with not much noise.
A fair point. I mean, I think that there's going to be an adjustment, you know, regardless of whether you're Daniel Carlson, Derek Carr, whoever it is, adjusting a little bit to getting fans back in that building. I think over those first couple weeks, we'll probably see a little, rust at all, but I think you're going to see guys like, oh, okay, like, I forget, like, it gets loud. How do we adjust to that? Like, this is a little different beast than we had in 2020. But I'm looking at the schedule right now, and really only three games, I would say, famous last words, that you're going to have to worry about Daniel kicking outside. I'm looking at week 9 in New York, so early November in New York. Things can get nasty there. Then we go down the calendar just a little bit to week 14, middle of December in Kansas City. I mean, it could either be 20 degrees or 40 degrees. It could be snowing. It could be not. But the odds are you're going to get a weather game there. And then the next week, week 15 in Cleveland, another weather game. So he's got a little things to navigate, but look, we're kind of splicing hairs here. 94% is incredible. If he can get to 95%, outstanding. But I mean, this guy's coming off of what I think was a Pro Bowl season. So if he can just keep it up and repeat what he did in 2020 this year, I think the Raiders are going to be in very good shape at that kicking position.
It is absolutely crazy how you even made that last statement, because that was going to be my question too to you, Eddie.
Oh, hit me. What do you
think? Daniel Carlson will be a Pro Bowler this year?
Oh, man, look at that. We're going to have to do some adjusting on the fly. This is what we call production on the fly, because one of my questions back to you was going to be, are the Raiders going to get any Pro Bowler this year in special teams? So we're going to adjust. So anyways, your question to me, is Carlson a Pro Bowler this year?
Yes.
I mean, if he kicks 95% on his field goals and he doesn't miss from 50, which he didn't miss from 50 last year, I think you're going to have a really hard time keeping him out. Now, when it comes to the specialists, specifically in the Pro Bowl, it does kind of feel like it's like a legacy thing. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're the dude, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt over some guy like Daniel, who was last year in his, you know, second season, you know, in the NFL. But now you get a little bit of a little history underneath you. You show, hey, I can do this. I have done this before. Last year, third season for Daniel. I forgot about the first season in Oakland. But let's make him a Pro Bowler. I'll tell you this. If he goes 95%, he's perfect from 50-plus. I mean, the resume at this point is 2 years of that. Yeah, I think he should be a Pro Bowler.
Most definitely. I 100% agree. It's one of those things where stats are going to play a factor, and also just the success of the overall team.
And that's the other thing too, right? I mean, you could be an incredible kicker, punter, whatever, but if you're going 3-13, which obviously I don't think the Raiders are going to do, but if you're going 3-13, no matter how incredible of a season that you're having, it's going to be hard to get those votes to get you into the Pro Bowl.
Exactly, especially when the starter is based upon fan vote, and
yep,
then you have the coaches who and players who vote on this guys that come in underneath that. So team success will definitely play a factor in getting him that notoriety that he does deserve in order to be able to be a Pro Bowl player. As for the question that I feel like you were about to ask back to me about,
yeah,
who I feel will be a Pro Bowler off of the special teams, I'm going to go and say Hunter Renfrow. I think Hunter Renfrow, as a return specialist, I feel is probably the most likely to be a Pro Bowler this season. I feel that he is a guy last year that showed me a lot of what he can do, how smart he is, how he can navigate the field, see open holes, and really just depend on his blocking to get him to where he wants to go. And he's also very fast, very deceptively fast guy. And he had a couple of really big runs last year and even a touchdown that was called back because of penalties. So if you just clean that up and you continue to let him do his thing on punt or kick return, I feel like he has a very legitimate chance of being a Pro Bowler on special teams this year.
I agree, and we'll get to Hunter in a little bit as well, but I'm going to ask you my actual second question now, because we've gone, you and I were just too in sync today, where there was too much synergy there, where we're coming at the same mindset, we're thinking the same things. So I'll ask you this, for question number three of the six-pack, Levi, who in a perfect world would you like to see return punts and kicks? And I think I know where you're going with this, but you look at last year, and Renfrow and Jalen handled most of the punt and kick return duties. Are you okay with just running them back for 2021 in 2021, or is there someone else that you'd kind of like to see get a shot at that role?
The only guys that I can think of off the top of my head that if I really like Renfrow and I really like Ruggs. I felt like they are a good tandem, and I feel like if you decide that you want to run it back with them, I feel like you'd be perfectly fine. The only other guys that I would be more intrigued to see what they have is Kenyon Drake, because he returned kickoffs at Alabama.
Okay.
It was phenomenal, and I haven't really seen much of him do it since he was in Miami early on. So I think he would be really good in the special teams, because of his previous experience that I've seen him do. Also, a guy that's under the radar, maybe Dylan Stoner, undrafted free agent out of Oklahoma State. I've heard a lot of good things from the coaching staff and also just seeing him and how he navigates. I think he'd be a really good special teams guy.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. And I think that's one of the beauties of camp when we kick off here literally in less than a week now, is seeing the guys like Dylan Stoner, who are going to get a chance to do that, who are going to get a chance to show, hey, I can be a valuable punt returner, I can be a valuable kick returner, I can be a valuable coverage guy, whatever it is. Because there's so many guys, you look at the Raiders, but around the league, that start their career by being studs on special teams. That's their ticket into the door, right? That's their ticket into the show. And then from there, they take advantage of that opportunity. That opportunity grows to a bigger and bigger and bigger. And here we are, we're off to the races, and you are a legitimate starter, whatever, in the NFL. So I think that's one of the most fun parts about camp is seeing the Dylan Stoner. I think of a guy like Dallin Leavitt. Dallin was, you know, filled this to a T a few years ago, where he was a guy who made the most of his opportunities on special teams. We talked about him a while ago about making the most of his reps on defense. But he's a guy who's become a core special teamer, who was valuable to Rich Bisaccia in that role. And frankly, it's kept him around here for a couple of years. Like, you need to have dudes like that that you know you can trust. When it's, you know, you got 25 seconds left in a game, you need to cover a kick, you need to cover a punt, and you need to know that the guys you got out there are going to do it, and they're going to do it the right way.
Most definitely. I 100% agree, and Dallin Leavitt is somebody who has made the most of his opportunity. There's been so many players within NFL history who came into the NFL as lower draft picks or undrafted picks, and then they've been able to take the opportunity to excel on special teams and move them into a direction of where they want to go in terms of the actual position that they play. And you even saw last year when Dalen Leavitt had to play safety because there were so many injuries, so many things with COVID towards the end of the season. He came in and he performed to the best of his ability and really gave that defense some energy. And you wouldn't have thought that he would have gotten that action, but he did, and he was able to continue to add his energy to that defense and also add his energy to special teams, and it worked out for him in re-signing this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very valuable part of the game. I know that I kind of say it in jest sometimes, but having a good core group of special teamers is invaluable in the NFL. I mean, there's no other way to put it, that it is invaluable. You have to have your group of guys that you trust. You have to be able to trust your punter. You have to be able to trust your kicker. You have to be able to trust your long snapper that the ball is going to get there, because so many of these games in the NFL come down to a kick here, a missed extra point there. Like, you need to take advantage of those opportunities. It's like free throws in basketball, right? Like, you can be the best basketball player you want, but if you're shooting 35% from the line, I'm going to put you in the line every time.
Are you trying to
call out Ben Simmons. I got nothing but love and respect towards Ben Simmons, but if you're going to pick a guy that is the epitome of that, is it not Ben Simmons, right?
It's definitely Ben Simmons. No disrespect to Ben Simmons.
No, and look how that and look how that has kind of hampered his career.
Most definitely.
So, like, you need to take advantage of the freebies. And I would think that anything 35 yards and in as a field goal kicker, that's a freebie. When you go out there for that kick, that's got to be three 100% of the time.
Most definitely. I mean, it has to be three.
No doubt about that. I mean, it's, like I said, non-negotiable. And I'm just looking at the stats right now. Last year, Carlson was 8 for 8 from 40 yards and in. So there you go. He was automatic. All right, Levi, question number 4 from you, sir. What you got?
Kind of going towards that direction that we were kind of hitting on with Mr. Levitt and him making his mark on the special teams. Who do you think is going to be that next guy? That guy, that up-and-coming, you know, might be under the radar, but he's going to find a way to maybe potentially make some noise on the kickoff team or in defending. Who do you think is going to be that next down Levitt?
Ooh, great question. Great question. I think that – I don't want to say the obvious answer, but I think that the first guy that came into my head was Dylan Stoner, just because I know that we've seen a little bit of him throughout through mini camp, through the offseason program. We've heard good things from our people here about what they like about him. And he seems like a guy who is tailor-made to kind of fill that punt return role. Now, you look at Hunter Renfro, right? Hunter Renfro has done an outstanding job in that role, right? He's been really, really good. But now you're getting to a point where Hunter is a pretty vital part of this offense. And if there's a way that you can limit Hunter getting hit 3, 4, 5 times a game, maybe you split it with him and Stoner. I don't know. But if there's a chance, any type of way that you can keep Hunter Renfro healthy and fresh, I think you seriously have to consider it. Now, we might be having this conversation in a month, and it is just so apparent that Hunter Renfro is the most dynamic guy back there, then yes, you weigh the risk and the reward and say, look, I know there's a chance that he gets hurt doing this, but he is just too good at it to not have him out there. It's too important for this team that he is our, you know, ex-return guy for him not to do it. So I know we've kind of gone around a little bit. Dylan Stoner, I think, is a guy that at least on paper makes sense to kind of have him kind of excel in that role as a guy comes in undrafted, makes the most of opportunities. But I'm curious, what are you thinking in that one?
I'm going more from the defensive side of special teams. I think that one of these linebackers, these young linebackers, either Tanner Muse, who's coming off of a foot injury, or Javon White, who is the UNLV former UNLV standout Las Vegas guy. And he also grew up in Oakland, so he's a huge fan favorite for the Raiders. But I think one of those two guys on the defensive side of the ball really going out there and hunting down the returner, getting some good tackles, really being on top of their game, I think that they will be a big difference in special teams if they're using that capacity. And not only will that not only give them opportunity to affect the game in special teams, but it'll also give people more of a chance to be like, okay, well, he's doing these things on special teams. Maybe he can be that guy who's going to come in for Kwiatkowski or come in for Morrow or come in for Littleton and make a difference on the defense as well in their own respected positions. But I definitely think that those are going to be guys that are going to be big impact players on special teams when it comes to getting punt returners, getting kick returners.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Javon because he was the other guy that kind of came to mind when we were talking about guys that can make an impact this year. And I think he's kind of that prototypical dude of someone who could, you know, who was here last year on the practice squad, a guy who could maybe take that next step, you know, just professionally and kind of find himself a role on special teams. What will be key to all of this is obviously making the most of your chances during training camp, but the preseason is going to be huge for that. Because let's be honest, we're not going to see a lot of Hunter Renfro returning punts in the preseason.
Of course not.
We're not going to see a lot of Derek Carr. I hope we're not going to see a lot of Derek Carr. We're not going to see Josh Jacobs. What we're really going to find out now over those now 3 preseason games, this is the stuff that you learn. You learn who are my gunners going to be? Who are going to be, you know, who's going to be our backup punt returner? We were talking about it a couple weeks ago. Who's the emergency long snapper, right?
Exactly.
If Trent Sieg rolls an ankle, who's our guy? And so I think that the preseason is going to be really, really important this year to kind of firm up some of those battles. And I said at the top, I know that it's not overly sexy sometimes. I know that, like, hey, who are going to be our gunners on kick coverage, on punt coverage? I know that that necessarily doesn't get the people going like a 65-yard Josh Jacobs run. I completely understand that. But at the same time, very, very important to the health and success of this team in 2021.
Most definitely.
All right, question – this is 5, right? Question
That's
number
correct.
5. All right, so I'm looking – we're going to go back to my guy Daniel Carlson. And shout out AJ Cole because we haven't talked about him, you know, really at all. But another huge year, I think, in store for AJ. But going back to Daniel, I'm looking at the numbers right now, Levi. And his longest career kick was a kick last year in 2020, 54 yards. So my question to you is this. Is this the season we get a 55-plus from Daniel Carlson? I'm looking at last year, and from 50-plus, he was 4-for-4. Can we get a 55-plus connection from the Cash Money Man in 2021? And it feels like there's a big difference between 54 and 55, doesn't it? I know it's just 3 feet, but it feels like there's a difference there.
Just from the number standpoint, of course, it's 1 yard and it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it definitely is a daunting kick. There's not a lot of guys in the NFL who can just knock down a 55 kick and a 55 yarder like that, especially with pressure, with fans. Honestly, kind of going back to what I was saying at first about the 94% going up to 95 is just 1%, but there's a lot of factors that go into it. I'm going to kind of give a very similar answer to that where, yes, he can do it under the right circumstances.
You would think that kicking in an enclosed stadium like Allegiant, though, is going to give him, in terms of pristine kicking conditions, I don't know if you're going to do a lot better than the dome, right?
Most definitely, and he's going to be playing in a lot of domes this year. He's going to have a lot of opportunities to do that in the Legion. He's going to have a chance to do that in Dallas on Thanksgiving, so he's going to have a lot of domes at his disposal. He's got an enclosed spot in Los Angeles at SoFi that he's going to have to do that in, so he's going to have his opportunities.
And he'll get a chance in Denver, too, where everyone kicks like 75-yard field goals. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. So I think under the right conditions, you know, maybe – if they just decide, like, okay, we're about to go into halftime, we need these three right here, you know, just kind of in the half or in a situation where they just want to give him that opportunity to just prove himself, I definitely think he can do that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Levi, beer number 6, bring us home.
I guess we haven't really talked about him yet, and you just kind of brought it up, so I guess that's kind of the direction I want to go with this last question to bring us home. AJ Cole, he proved that he was a great punter in this league, even though he didn't have a lot of opportunities to punt, which necessarily isn't a bad thing. You know, if you have an offense that's putting points on the board, then you would hope that your punter is not on the field all the time. But when he was on the field, he definitely got it done with the opportunities that he's had. So do you think that AJ Cole will continue to build upon the momentum of last year?
1,000%. 1,000%. And the reason I say that is twofold. One, obviously, those of the guys who listen to the show on the regular know that AJ is one of my favorite guys on this team, probably one of my favorite Raiders of all time. Such a good dude. But you look at, and you bring up a great point, Levi, where he didn't punt a whole heck of a lot last year. So I'm looking at his rookie year in 2019, he punted 67 times. We flash forward to 2020, 44 times. So he had 23 less punts in 2020 than he did as a rookie. And like you said, that's not a bad thing. That's just the reality of being a punter in the NFL. And I've joked with AJ before where I was like, do you ever get bored out there? And he's like, it's the best way to be bored, right? Because if I'm bored, that means a lot of really good things are happening because I'd rather go hold, you know, for the point after than have to worry about punting. But do I think he continues on the momentum? Yes. And I say that simply because he hasn't shown us, he hasn't given us any reason to think that he's not, right? Like, he has been so solid. The definition of solid since he arrived in Oakland at the time and now transitioned into Las Vegas. And he has very quietly gone about his business. He's not the flashiest guy on this team. He's certainly not the flashiest punter in the NFL. But week after week, all he does is down the ball inside the 20, give the Raiders defense good field position, puts them in a position to succeed, and Holden does a really nice job for Daniel. So, yeah, I think year 3 now, AJ going into, his third season in Silver and Black. Yeah, absolutely he's going to keep the momentum going. What do you think?
I 100% agree, and it's one of those things to where I would even go as far as to say that AJ Cole has the potential to be a Pro Bowl punter.
I would agree 100%.
Only thing is I don't even know if he'll even have any more opportunities to punt. You know, he went down 20 punts this last season, and I think that he's honestly probably going to be around the same amount of punts. I don't think he's going to be on the field a lot, but that's not a bad thing. That's just the confidence that I feel that the offense has in being able to put points up. So definitely when he's given the opportunity, he's going to definitely make sure that he gets it done. And I really do have a lot of just seeing how he's been able to do things. It's just crazy how you look at a guy like that and you're just like, man, he doesn't have a whole lot of hype behind him. He doesn't have a whole lot of notoriety behind him, but he gets it done. He's one of those. He's probably one of the more underrated, if not the most underrated, guy on this team.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. And thank you for stalling, Levi. We will. I will lift the curtain for a second. I was about to sneeze, so I was like, Levi, keep going. I'm about to just keep going, keep going, keep going. I don't want to have to recut this.
Nah, I got you, bro.
But no, I would agree with everything you said. I mean, AJ is a guy who is, I think, across the league, underrated a little bit for a variety of reasons. I think reason number one is he didn't punt. Like we said, he didn't punt a whole heck of a lot last year.
He didn't.
And so I think that, as crazy as it sounds, it's a great thing for the team, right? But for him personally, in terms of getting the shine and the notoriety, which I know he does not care about at all, it definitely doesn't help him in that regard. But he is just, you know, as I said, as solid can be. And you look historically at this organization, and with Ray Guy and Shane Leckler, now AJ, I mean, there is a rich tradition of punters here. And I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I know that we're just going into year three with AJ. But if AJ keeps up on this trajectory, if he keeps punting, kicking, holding, doing everything the way that he's going to do it, I think a decade from now, you and I, when we're old and we're sitting and drinking our bourbon at some bar in the middle of nowhere, we're going to be talking about AJ Cole as one of the greatest, well, I don't want to say greatest, but as one of the next punters in line with the Ray Guy and Shane Lecklers.
I don't doubt it at all. It's crazy how growing up, of course, when I thought of the Raiders just kind of throughout my childhood, it was like the two players that came to my mind growing up of when I thought of the Raiders. It was Charles Woodson, and then right behind that, it was Janikowski and Shane Leckler.
Yeah. Also guys who could be in the Hall of Fame when all is said.
Guys who can be in the Hall of Fame. So, for me growing up, and it's like if you name like three players who I thought about like as a Raiders as a child, and those guys were in that conversation, and you're a kicker and a punter, I definitely think that AJ Cole has that exact same route that he can go. Where this next generation, like now, you know, my little brother, who's 7 years old, he can be watching TV growing up and be like, oh, yeah, I remember AJ Cole. Every time he got in the field, he punted the ball at the 2-yard line.
And you know what's really cool, too, is I think about this a lot, where, you know, the sad, I don't want to say sad reality. The reality of it is that punters and kickers never get enough shine, right?
Most definitely.
They just don't. That's a fact. But I think that what's so special about the Raiders and really the Raiders fan base is they have such an appreciation for the special teamers. You brought up Seabass. I mean, you go to any game now and you are going to see a dozen Sebastian Janikowski jerseys. That's just a fact. Like, you're going to see the chart, like in terms of the greats, you're going to see Jim Plunkett jerseys. You're going to see Tom Flores jerseys. You're going to see Seawood jerseys. And you are going to see a lot of Sebastian Janikowski jerseys.
He had a boot.
And there is such a respect, such a, you know, an understanding of how important that role is, you know, from the fans to the special. And it's something that's really, really cool. You don't see that a lot.
No, most definitely. I just remember just seeing Janikowski just walk out of the field and, like, boot kicks. And it was like he's the kicker for the team. And he looks like he'd honestly be, like, a long snapper or fullback or somebody like that. He's a big guy. He had a boot. And Shane Leckler, he had a boot, and I think that these two guys that are in play, Carlson and Cole, I feel like they are very reminiscent of those two, and hopefully the success of the Raiders will be able to give those guys a little bit more shine, a little bit more notoriety, and something that I kind of remember saying in another podcast is if your kicker is not that notable, you know, and might not be getting a lot of shine, trust me, that's not a bad thing, because if you don't have a good kicker and if you don't have a good punter, then it will be exaggerated and everybody will know. So the fact that you have dependable guys that might not get a whole lot of spotlight, that's not a bad thing. That just means that they're doing their job, being about business, moving forward.
1,000%. And let's not forget, we got to mention our guy, my guy John Kondo, the third key member to that battery of the Seabass, Shane Leckler, and Kondo. And let's give a little love to Trent Sieg now, who's filling in that long snapper role. The long snapper, I don't know if there's a person on the roster who gets less shine than a long snapper. I don't care if you're the long snapper for the Super Bowl champion. No one ever gives you your due, And we're here to give love and respect to the long snap.
I'm really glad that you brought him up because I really want to say something about Trent, and
yeah,
I didn't know
if
we were going to get to it in the questions.
Hey, the beauty of this, man, we're never under a time crunch. What do you got on C? Give it to me.
I think he is a very good long snapper. I feel like that the chemistry that he has with his holder and as well as making sure that things are very timely, I think he's good. And even another guy, Liam, I think he's another guy who definitely is a very good backup and will also get things done as well. So the long snappers need love too. They're just a part of this team as anybody. And trust me, a long snapper, another one of those positions that I was just saying, like if you have a bad long snapper, then you'll start kind of, you know, picking
you'll
apart.
Know. You'll know if you got a bad long snapper.
You'll know if you have a bad
long
snapper.
And you'll know in a quick.
And everybody's going to talk about it. And everybody's going to be on TV saying like, okay, what's going on? You can't get the ball to the kicker. And so if you have somebody that's on the field and just does their job and is very under the radar, you don't say anything about them, that's not a bad thing at all.
Not a bad thing at all. And that's a great place to end. With love for the long snappers and, frankly, with love to all of the specialists because they don't get the shine that they deserve. And I promise you this, Levi, while I am running this humble podcast, we will always give love and respect and shine to all specialists because they deserve it. So, for Eddie Pascal, Levi Edwards, our friend Alexandra behind the glass making us sound so much better than we do in real life, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely, and I cannot believe it. The next time that we come to you, I truly cannot believe this, it will be our first edition of Training Camp, our first Training Camp edition of Upon Further Review. Wild. So, until next week, Raider Nation, stay safe, stay healthy, and we will catch you guys next week for our usual episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.